Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A multi-agency task force in Utah, Operation Chat, led by the FBI, has just made 30 arrests in just 1 month. The suspects are accused of targeting children for sex online. Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill now joining me, Abby Bonnell, on Feedback and iHeartRadio. This is now an epidemic, Sim.
It absolutely is, Abby. You know, when we look at the data, especially from the missing and the exploited children, in 2017 alone, they received 10.2 million reports as alerts that came to them in regards that involved children. And so that's an alarming number. And when we think about the prevalence of our digital age in terms of all this smart technology, from smartphones to computer access and multiple apps and platforms, those access points have really increased exponentially over the last several years. And so the idea of online enticement as a general term, which basically identifies predatory behavior by individuals targeting children exclusively for the purposes of sexually exploiting them, has been growing at an alarming rate nationally. And because the pathway through this is through the social media and technology, there is no longer any more geographical isolation or distance. So what is happening in New York City or in Florida or in Georgia or Texas is happening in little old Utah, in Salt Lake City, and not even in the urbanized areas, but also within the context of our rural areas as well, because that distance has been compressed. And the predator now is not only at our front door, but in our house.
And that's exactly it. If you have internet access, if you have a phone, if your child, which most children now do have access to that, a predator also has access to them, even, as you said, inside your own home. No one's safe.
Absolutely. And you know, in the way sometimes that the term online enticement is explained is, so for example, these are individuals who target a child to share sexually explicit images. They target the child to facilitate a meeting in person for sexual purposes. They target the child in what we call sexually explicit conversation or role playing, and what we call grooming behavior to prep them for subsequent contact, or where they're selling and trading child sexual images to others or sharing those. And then, of course, there are other elements of it, sextortion, and also the other component sometimes that people don't realize as a pathway sometimes to also grabbing children for purposes of human trafficking. So it covers the online enticement sort of issue, covers a whole panoply of different kind of predatory behavior. And so there are multiple different pathways, but the single objective is the sexual exploitation of that child. And unfortunately, we're seeing those in really high prevalence numbers that are going on. So what happened, and one of the reasons we got involved is that the FBI, you know, created this Child Exploitation Task Force, CTEF, in 2016. And in 2018, they reached out to my office in the summer and fall of 2018. And they said, hey, is this something that you might be interested in? And as the Salt Lake County DA, the largest jurisdiction, you know, we said, of course, because our goal is to protect children. But I have to be absolutely honest with you that when we made that commitment, when we didn't have the resources, it was just the right thing to do. But I wasn't fully aware of the full scope of the problem that we had when we made that commitment. And so, for example, in about a year, while we were working episodically on it, my office identified 80 predators, 80 individuals, in just a little bit over a year on episodic sort of interactions in terms of guiding that number. And so we decided that we want to get together with you on a much more concerted effort to gather some data. And so we agreed to do a 30-day operation, but which really translated to 4 episodes in Salt Lake County. And within those 4 episodes, we arrested another 30 people. And that really was really an eye-opening sort of moment for me to get a grasp of what this problem really is. And what makes this really exciting in terms of the work is that this task force is really a statewide now effort, having multiple jurisdictionals and partners, different agencies. And so we had this press conference yesterday to demonstrate our partnership with John Huber, who is the U.S. attorney, federal prosecutor here, Salt Lake City PD, and the FBI partnership. But what I really want to communicate to your listeners out there, this is a multi-agency, multi-jurisdictional, collaborative partnership, which is done on a voluntary basis, and it demonstrates, one, the commitment that we have, but also the scope and span that we're trying to cover.
Predators often use fake IDs, don't they, Sim, to lure the miners into their web, claiming that they are actually younger than they are. And when you've had underage or undercover officers going out, this is where you see these adult perpetrators arriving on the scene. Their purpose is to commit a criminal act with a child.
Absolutely. So the predator is actually quite sophisticated. The predator is looking for an opportunity, and as John Huber used the example, he's out there sort of fishing. He keeps throwing this bait out there, hoping that he's going to hook somebody and bring them in. And deception for nefarious purposes is sort of their calling card. They're not going to tell you what they're going to do. They're often going to lie about their age. They're going to lie about their concern for you. They're going to befriend you. They're going to do everything they can, from befriending you to offering you different kinds of money, different kinds of opportunities to meet with you. It is premised on deception with an eye towards exploitation, and they come in there fully armed with all sort of deceit and deception to basically trick that child, to exploit that child. So you're absolutely correct. That is a critical part of their MO, if you will, in the introduction of that conversation to that child.
The men that were arrested, and they were all men, were aged between 19 and 65. They come from all walks of life. You can't profile here. They're teachers, they're clergy, they're doctors, they're students, and far more occupations.
That is absolutely correct. You know, even when they tried to sort of compress some of this data, not just from our experience in Salt Lake County and the state of Utah, but also in terms of from around the whole country, there is no profile. It has no identifier as a profile in terms of race or ethnicity or education or the economic status. These are people who are church-abiding members to atheists to rich, poor, you name it. They cover that full demographic range. But also what is alarming is that they're not physically, geographically tied as well. So, for example, we have predators who are coming into Salt Lake County from adjoining counties or counties a couple of away. So they're willing to travel a distance to meet that child for the purposes of making that exploitive contact. Then we've also, shockingly, have individuals who may be traveling for business and are flying in here from another state and going online to set up a contact with a child while they're actually away from their native state or home. And it is not unheard of to have somebody who was in a different state, does an online chat, sets up to facilitate the contact, and then actually flies into that particular state, another state, to actually engage in that illicit sexual contact with that child. So it really defies any logic. It defies any capacity to profile this person in any particular way.
They target specifically the naive and the most vulnerable of our society.
that's also what makes them so dangerous, right? So when you take that the fact that you cannot identify objectively what that predator is going to be like, and supplement that with technology, which actually has multiple platforms, and then is and that has an entryway into your household. Those are two very lethal combinations, no identifiable feature and an open-ended platform within which to have that context. And that's what makes that this job so challenging and so difficult.
Sim, these conversations quickly online, the chats change in minutes from being normal to becoming completely inappropriate.
Absolutely. And some of the people who work that, they can see that some people are just laser-like focus and they will move in a very systemic and methodical way to that moment of exploitation, but to get into some very graphic content very quickly. However, keep in mind also that there are also individuals who engage in what we call grooming behavior, and they will actually spend some time befriending and actually building that trust and grooming that child over a period of time for that moment of exploitation as well. So, you know, it covers the whole gambit. It covers that whole scope of that contact.
This most recent bust that you just publicized was really quite shocking, I think, to many parents and just members of our society here in the state of Utah. The number of arrests, 30, that's almost one a day. And you say, Sim, this is just the tip of the iceberg. What about the ones that got away?
Absolutely. And I think that was really what was alarming. So, again, let me give you, as the Salt Lake County DA, sort of the why I felt so concerned. First of all, as I mentioned, we started this partnership with the FBI and this task force the fall of 2018. And in a little bit, just about it, in a one-year point, in a 12-month period, not working on this every day, not working on it, 24/7 every day, we were able to generate 80 individuals who came into Salt Lake County on this episodic effort, who came to as child predators. And that number 80 is alarming in itself. So we wanted to get a better understanding. So we just said, okay, let's compress that to a 30-day cycle. And within a 30-day cycle, so we did it in October of this year, we ran four operations. And what that really entails is 4 days out of 30 days. So it wasn't that we ran operations every single day, but 4 days out of 30 days. And in those four operations that were run in Salt Lake County, we arrested 30 people. Now, what the data shows us is that it is not only is the person who's making that contact with that child, not only is that not necessarily their first and only contact, but they have had multiple contacts. This perpetrator and this predator has had multiple contacts with multiple individuals, and that there are multiple hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals who we are not capturing because those are the ones that we just never came in contact with. So if you think about the 30 individuals in four days of operation that we had, and if you attribute to them even 5 or 10 other children that they may have contacted, and if you populate around the 30 individuals, another 5 to 10 individuals extremely conservatively that we did not, and the 10 or 15 or children that they've contacted, you can see how mathematically, exponentially this grows, you know? And if you now multiply that on every single day in terms of the number of predators who are making these kind of contact with number of children, it's astronomical. That's why, for example, as I mentioned, I think earlier, the Children for Missing and Endangered Children identified 10.2 million alerts nationally about these kind of issues in 2017. So those are really frightening numbers. And for Salt Lake County, that was a very alarming reality for us to recognize as public prosecutors.
And you point now, obviously, to these staggering numbers, astonishing and so disturbing, but it comes down to research.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Sources now. You call it an epidemic. We're not keeping up, are we, Sim?
No, we're not. I mean, and we're a perfect example of that, Abby, because when we were approached by the task force, and this is really all the collaborative partners that we have, and I'm really grateful that this is multi-jurisdictional and multi-agency, these are people who are volunteering their assets in partnership with the federal task force. So when we were approached, I don't have enough prosecutors and I don't have enough investigators. But when we started to talk about this issue as an elected official, as a father, as the head of this office, I could not sit idly by and do nothing about it. So when we sat down as a group of colleagues, we said, look, we don't have enough resources, but if we can prevent one predator from reaching one child, it's worth the effort. And so we took on extra work. I made one prosecutor available. I made one investigator available who are still carrying their normal caseload. And we made the effort to reach out. And I think the point of this was this conference was, one, not only to alert our community and encourage our parents to have those conversations, but it was also to sort of demonstrate that this, how pervasive this problem is. And our policymakers, if they genuinely are the people of their word to say that we care about our children, we care about the most vulnerable, and then the policymakers need data. And so they cannot say that they were not informed, and they need to start giving law enforcement prosecution offices the assets that we need so we can at least make a reasonable effort to push back against this tide of offenders. And so we've made that commitment, whether our policymakers give us those resources or not. And I'm telling you, Abby, if you're a parent, and we're talking about 100. So for us, what this has meant in basically 13 months that we've been involved in it, we have identified 110 perpetrators in Salt Lake County. I mean, if I was to say 5 or 10, that would be shocking. And we're at 110 perpetrators on limited resources, limited effort, and we are barely scratching the surface here. That is why I think it needs to be also a wake-up call for our policymakers so we can address this issue.
Okay, for parents right now, I think Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown actually said during this press conference, all parents, all guardians, also friends, relatives, need to know if they're involved in this child's life, what websites, if they have constant interaction with the child, what websites the children are visiting, what are they using? Get your face in their phones, on their iPads, whatever it is, what device they're using. Who they're talking to, know what they're doing, where they're going when they say they're going out, and who they're going to be meeting with. Nosy isn't enough. You have to literally be on red alert.
Yes, and here's the irony. Here's the sad irony. Parents often purchase this technology. Why? To keep their child safe. And the old thinking was, right, we're concerned parents, we're a concerned community, and we would say, little Johnny or little Jill, you know, I'm worried about when the school lets out and from that day, from that time that they're going to leave school and show up at home. And we were concerned about that little time period because we were worried about some stranger or somebody coming in contact with them. And the irony is the technology that we have bought to keep our children safe actually has taken that predator not from the outside, but we brought them inside our living rooms. We brought them inside our home through this technology. And parents really need to be very mindful of, right? These children have access to this technology because you as an adult have purchased that. And so it's really going back to the fundamentals. It's about making that connection with your child and having an open dialogue and building that relationship of open communications and trust. And this really goes back to the fundamentals of just that healthy family and that parental relationship. You've got to be a part of your children's lives. You've got to have open and honest conversations. You've got to alert them that there are dangers out there, not in an alarmist way, but in a cautionary way. And also to encourage our children to, and you really have to genuinely communicate that if something happens, this is not your fault. You will not be blamed, but we need to be able to talk about it because I want to be able to protect you, because we want to be able to safeguard you, and we're not going to be angry, because I would much rather open that channel of communication with that child in that open communications rather than in a blaming sort of way, in an angry way, because that's only going to shut that child down. So we've got to start talking to our children. We've got to know what apps they are using, what technology. And as Chief Brown said, and I couldn't agree more with him, it's not against the law to be a nosy parent, you know? And that is the least we could be doing. But we've got to start having those very important conversations. And the other part of this is that not only in that family relationship that we're talking about, but we as a community need to recognize as a society, because we in law enforcement cannot do this by ourselves. We really do need the partnership with parents and our community at large to be involved and be alert to this larger issue. Now, again, I know it may sound alarmist. That's not my intention, but it is one of informed decision making and being cautious about it in our community, because this is the reality that we're dealing with.
Yes, that device can be a weapon. Intervention from a parent can prevent a crime, and a sexually exploited child's lives with these scars is traumatic. It goes with them for decades in their lives. It is horrific.
Absolutely. And one of the wonderful things about this task force is, another thing to think about, this is a proactive effort, right? The task force is actually trying to prevent something from happening, right? By catching the predators before they are allowed to act, you know, this proactive approach allows law enforcement and prosecutors to do something that is otherwise impossible for us to do, Abby, which is to prevent a child from being raped, kidnapped, or murdered. And that is that preventive component, because often, by the time the incident or crime has happened, that is too late. We're now in a reactive mode, and the purpose of this task force and the effort that we're talking about is really a proactive and preventive, and that is worth its weight in gold.
You know, recently I interviewed the ICAC commander, Jessica Farnsworth, on Feedback right here on iHeartRadio. She discussed the work that her officers have to confront. She calls them heroes, and they really are. The kind of work that they are doing, it's disturbing. But my goodness me, it's relentless, and it's ending up with prosecutions like the one you have just announced.
Yes, and let me give you one illustrative example. As we wind our time down here. So, for example, we had a person who was caught for an online enticement. We caught him, we prosecuted him, and he was sentenced to 200-plus days in jail. No sooner as he was released from jail, within 10 days, he was picked up on a secondary enticement of a child. And we prosecuted him on that and sent him to prison. As a result of that, we were able to gather some DNA data from him and upload that into CODIS. And that CODIS hit now came back to us on an unsolved rape of a 14-year-old. And so you know, this work is really important in terms of one predator there who potentially we know now may have had one victim and two others that he was meeting to victimize. So this work is important, and the work that is being done by these men and women and our prosecutors and law enforcement is nothing short of heroic. So I would echo those sentiments wholeheartedly because the work that they're doing is really preventing future trauma and future harm, which the scars, like you said, are carried for a lifetime, sadly.
Are the criminal penalties being handed out right now, Sim, adequate?
Let me be very clear. Not only was this an informational opportunity for us to share information and to start this dialogue with parents to talk to their children, but I want to be very on the record, very clearly saying that this is also a warning shot that we're sending across, that going forward, from this day forward, The Salt Lake County DA's office is going to prosecute this aggressively. The message we want to send out to these individuals is that you will be hunted down. We will chase you down. We will prosecute you. We will hold you accountable, and we will aggressively prosecute you and punish you. We're going to take a zero tolerance approach. Now, this is a second degree felony, and if you're caught a second time, it's a first degree felony. So the person that I had mentioned before, we had charged with a second degree felony, and he did some jail time. When we caught him again, it became a first degree felony by enhancement, and now he's in prison. And so the charges are there. We want to educate the community, and we want to send it in no uncertain terms that if you're going to come into the state of Utah, and especially if you're going to come into Salt Lake County, this is not going to be a safe zone for you as a child predator, because we will aggressively prosecute you, and we will do it to the full extent of the law with an eye towards imprisonment and incapacitation.
Unfortunately, Utah has traditionally been such a trusting state, too, with a very large young population. We've been a magnet, haven't we, for predators?
Yes, we do have we are a very compassionate community, but we need to be very aware of where we are as a society and the dangers that our community poses to us.
Okay, if anybody is aware or suspects of any criminal activity in this field, the Salt Lake City FBI has a tip line. You can provide any information there. You can be anonymous, too, of a suspected child predator. That number is 801-579-1400, 801-579-1400. Or you can go online and visit tips, T-I-P-S, dot, FBI.gov. Again, shocking statistics, aren't they, Sim? I'm sure you, your office, all of the law enforcement agencies who are working and collaborating on this problem really are scratching their heads and are concerned, deeply concerned about what lies ahead.
Yes, we are, but I want to also send a very important message to our community that there are men and women who are working very hard. This is not just something one and done. This is something that we are now proactively engaged in Salt Lake County, in the state of Utah, as a part of this task force. And these men and women are going to continue to work. And if you're a child predator, we're not giving up, and you will be caught. So there is that proactive hope that's there. And I'm hoping that this conversation also leads to conversations in our household and with our children, and also just an education to parents to start taking an interest of what technology your child is on.
And also be aware that a child itself can have the one sort of Facebook account and then be hiding another one too. You need to really, really just buckle on down, because kids are pretty sophisticated when it comes to using technology. Often they're far more advanced than their own parents.
Oh, absolutely. I think about the day when the VCR came out and the flashing light, and because I could record it, I was brilliant and certainly a lot smarter than my father on that simple technology. And nowadays, comparatively speaking, the education and the finesse and sophistication of our children at an early age to interact with this technology is far superior than us as parents. They're passing us by leaps and bounds. And that's why it's really important to stay up on top of that. And they are. Children are very sophisticated. They have access to wider platforms than ever before in the history of our society. And they can be connected to the world as simple as picking up that smartphone that we hold in our hand.
Well, it's my pleasure to have Sim Gill, Salt Lake County District Attorney, joining me, Abby Bonnell, on Feedback, shedding a light on this disturbing problem. Again, that tip line is 801-579-1400, the FBI tip line, if you suspect a child predator, or you can visit online at tips.fbi.gov. Thank you so much, Sim Gill, for joining me, Abby Bonnell, on Feedback.
Thank you, Abby. Always a pleasure.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.